Lance and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day as we kick off the fourth hour of the show. Live here at SoundSleep Medical, 801-285-9731. You're one of the first 50 callers to set up a free consultation. You will be entered into a drawing for a better sleep basket that includes a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card. Tyler tweets in, when the game officer pulls out his gun, I was like, he's going to Scotty that deer. I've done nothing to any deer that has lasted any permanent amount of, done any permanent amount of damage.
You like deer?
No, I ate them.
No. To eat them.
Not really a big fan either.
Deer meat?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had deer that I'm like, I want more of that.
No.
I've had elk that I felt that way.
Elk's pretty good. Yeah, I'm down with some elk.
But I've had deer jerky. But it was a processed jerky, and it was combined with pork.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you take deer meat, they combine it with pork, and they do a spicy kind of a – they can do like a spicy jerky stick.
Why even bother at that point? Just make it pork jerky.
Pork jerky is better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just good old-fashioned.
Have you done your own jerky?
No, I haven't.
I know the smokers can do it.
I should, because jerky prices are absurd.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I can't believe it. I can't believe where jerky prices are.
I think I might. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
Homemade jerky?
Some homemade jerky.
So what are you talking about? Like,
I know there's recipes, and I've got some. The smoker I have has some trays that you can put that in, and I've got a couple of them. I've just never gotten around to doing it.
So what would you do? Like, take a chuck and have it thinly sliced? Or
like a, top round or something like that.
Yeah.
Slice it really thin, put in a marinade, and then let it just cook for a day or something like that, really low.
I've never tried jerky. I didn't realize that you could do your own jerky.
Yeah.
I would like to do it, though, because it's, I can't believe it. I don't know what jerky would be per pound right now, but My guess is it's like $20-something per pound, based off of going in and buying a little bag of those jerky nuggets, and it's like $8 for just a little tiny bit of jerky. Where do they get off selling jerky for that much? They just know that people think of jerky as being a health snack.
It's the whole protein craze.
Quick protein, but thing is you soak that stuff in sugar. That's how you make jerky.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you get like a teriyaki or something along those lines. Yeah, there's a ton of sugar in that stuff.
100%. So don't tease yourself. Don't trick yourself. You go buy Trapper Joe's? Is that I think it's Trapper Joe's is the big bag. You're buying calories and sugar. That's what you're buying for a very costly price.
Ultimately, what we want you to do is not buy it so that Hans and I can go buy it at a reasonable price.
Yeah, because obviously, supply and demand.
So let's bring that demand down a little bit.
I would much rather have 3 Bahama Mamas than just a little tiny bag of Trapper Joe's teriyaki. You can get them about the same price now.
Yeah. Those Bahama Mamas are really good.
They are. Overpriced now.
Yeah. What do you go, ketchup? What do you go on your?
A little mustard and a little onion.
Oh, really? No ketchup?
No ketchup. A little mustard, a little onion.
You ever put mayo on a dog?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Often. Yeah. And I never regret it. I'll never bite into any type of dog with mayo on it and think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Haven't done it to this point in my life.
A good friend of mine said you can save money when you quit buying jerky and just start buying crack cocaine instead.
Who said that?
A buddy of mine.
Because they're the same amount of health for you?
No, just because of the street value.
Oh, the street value. Okay, yeah.
You save money.
Yeah. I thought, yeah.
Jerky's not quite as addictive. Can be. Good bag of jerky. Get you really fired up, but.
Did you used to buy that ground-up jerky that you'd stick in your lip in the little chew can stick in your back pocket?
Yeah, I'm not really proud of that. Started with the bubble gum.
Yeah.
And then, and then moved up to the jerky.
Big league chew.
Hey, I know we'll get back to the NBA here in a bit, but and it's funny because we've had a guy on Twitter that's bugged us forever about talking about it, and now it became official. The Western Athletic Conference has really started to try to put something together, and I think maybe tomorrow or early or next week we'll talk to some people around Southern Utah. But Southern Utah, Dixie State, UVU are all now members of the WAC. Now, UVU is already there. They've added a bunch of other programs. There's 14 programs in total, and they're going to try to create a not just a really good basketball conference, but a football conference as well. And some of these schools are going to try to make the jump to FBS football, which is a bit surprising, but here we go. I don't know if UVU is eventually going to try to play football. I don't imagine that's going to be the case.
Well, I called you yesterday because a fake account hit me up on Twitter, and I thought, whoa. But then I saw it didn't have the blue check mark, and I realized I was nearly took. But it's a fake UVU football account. I don't know. UVU football. Football at UVU? I've heard that the startup cost is keeping them away from it, but I don't know.
And where would they play? At BYU?
No. BYU's not going to let them use that stadium.
Yeah, and nor would you. I mean, because you're not going to draw any fans. You'd want to, you know, a 20, 25,000 seat stadium tops. You don't want to, try to have a sparsely laden crowd into a 65,000 seat stadium.
Was it Provo High that just built a new stadium? I mean, I guess you'd look at Provo High or Tempe View. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. I can't imagine UVU ever starting up a football program. So how many football programs are there now in the WAC, this newly formed WAC?
Well, they've added Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, Lamar, Abilene Christian, Tarleton is already in the WAC. And so those are your programs that are going to try to make the jump to play football. Jeff Hurd, WAC commissioner, said, "I cannot overstate my level of excitement in making this expansion announcement. The opportunity to bring in 5 quality institutions in the conference significantly strengthened the WAC national brand and other championship sport profiles, and to bring football back under the WAC umbrella is one that made sense." The league will be separated into 2 divisions, the Southwest and the West. And all in hopes of trying to provide an opportunity to provide some FCS football right now and with a chance of maybe going to the FBS ranks. They're also probably going to add the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. The Vaqueros are exploring the possibility of adding a football program.
I don't know is this the right move to move out of a in-state rivalry with Weber State, where it does feel like the Big Sky has more stability in football programs. Like, the Big Sky is a pretty darn good conference.
It is a great conference, and it's always really surprised me because Southern Utah had, forever and ever was begging to get into the Big Sky. I mean, they fought like crazy, and then once they got there, well, now, 5, 6 years later, now they're on their way to the WAC. And I know some people around this. I'm going to do some due diligence on this and try to dig into why Southern Utah, if it makes more sense. And maybe the Big Sky never really felt like home to them. You know, they're down south, and even though with Ed Lamb, they once won the conference in the Big Sky Conference, or in the Big Sky with him as the head coach 1 year. But I don't know if it makes sense for Southern Utah. Dixie, they needed a home for football, so I guess that makes sense.
What was it? 3 years ago, Damari Warren, the head coach of Southern Utah, had them. Was it in the championship game with Weber State?
Yeah, they and Weber were in the championship, and I can't remember. They played the last game of the year and the winner won the championship. I can't remember how that played out.
It was Weber. I'm pretty sure that it was Weber State that year.
Pretty sure you're right.
So they've been competitive in it.
They've been competitive, yeah.
I'm actually bummed to see them go because it feels like the WAC is them walking out into complete obscurity. Yeah.
And it may not be fair from our perspective, but because they're so far down south, we don't talk about them very much.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk FCS football, we talk Weber State. We don't talk a lot about Southern Utah. And maybe that's our fault, but when they're not playing Weber State, when they're not coming up north to play Idaho State and some of these other, and Montana State, they might be a little out of sight, out of mind.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them. It's tough. It's going to be tough for them to. I think it's going to be tough for them to stay relevant. What? How much relevancy do you need? Really, you're just trying to keep the people of Cedar City interested, right? That's who you're trying to feed into your stadium.
Yeah, and you want to handle and maybe travel costs. Maybe it's a little easier to travel to Texas and make those trips than it is to come up north and play Weber State, Idaho State, and then North Dakotas and Montana schools. Maybe it's a travel issue too.
They did. They must have crunched numbers and seen logistically that they could save that way. Because with the WAC and the Big Sky, where they make their money as an athletic department is ticket sales, right? It's not
correct.
Like they're getting TV revenue.
Yeah. Yep.
So all you're trying to do is, I guess, identify your fan base. Maybe they feel like they can win there more, and if they win more, more fans will be in their stadium?
Could be, for sure. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around it because the Big Sky is such a legacy conference and is such a strong, viable conference that I would never in a million years want to leave. But if you feel like it's in your best interest, then obviously go for it. But it does seem, I don't know, I would not do that if I were Southern Utah.
Me neither. But I'm also kind of a fan of the Big Sky.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like that conference.
So with that, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But Dixie, it's good for Dixie State because they now have a home for their football. They're not playing an FCS independent schedule, which I imagine was a nightmare trying to put that together. And then you've got – and overall, it's a good basketball program because you've got New Mexico State who – has had really good basketball programs over the last several years. UVU's had success in that conference in terms of basketball. You got Seattle U, that's a good basketball program. So you've got some good basketball playing programs in there. If you can get football up to speed, then maybe you can get a negotiation with ESPN or Fox or somebody. I don't think so, but you might be able to carve something out for yourself. I don't know. It's good. It's interesting to see how it play out. It's what's the word I'm looking for that I can say on the air? It's take some huevos to make a move like that.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see if it pays off for them. It just doesn't feel right to me.
There were some conversations. I do know that the WAC reached out to Weber State to see if they'd be interested, and Weber said, no, we're good right here in the
Happy
Big Sky.
And sound. Yeah.
No, nothing needed there. All right. Hey, by the way, some media availability earlier today for the Utah Jazz. And for whatever reason, Shaquille O'Neal has really started to sink his teeth into Rudy Gobert, saying that there's no way a guy making or scoring only 11 points a game should be worth all the money that he's getting paid. Rudy Gobert was asked about it earlier today, and his response was, I've always been a big fan of Shaquille O'Neal. I love the way he played. I grew up watching him play. I really respect him as a player. That doesn't mean I respect everything he says all the time. And I think that was a good job by Rudy taking the high road on that one. Because, again, these guys, whether it be Shaq, whether it be Kenny, whether it be Charles Barkley, it does seem like once they sink their teeth into you, they don't let go for a while. And if Rudy were to escalate this, it would probably drag out for a while. Best thing is just take the high road and see if he can move on and put his attention towards something else. But it does seem a little weird that he's been as aggressive towards Rudy as he's been as of late.
Must really bug him. Must bug him to see that amount of money without offensive output. I kind of get it to a certain extent. You want to see somebody making that kind of money, putting up a better average in points, but I guess I am a little bit surprised that Shaq's not focusing more on what he is doing rather than what he's not doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy to see how much Rudy impacts the game. And it doesn't necessarily need to be. If a guy's got 11 points, but he pulls down 20 rebounds, he impacted the game in a big way. If he blocked two shots, and he also altered a ton of shots at the rim and made that team completely alter who they are offensively because of who he is, then I'd say, yeah, he's worth his weight in gold. But just because one aspect of his game isn't up to your, you know, you want to see 25 points a game and he's scoring 11, and because of that, he's not worth the contract. That's baloney. That's just not true.
Feels a little lazy.
And I would have thought Shaq would think about the game a little bit better. But then again, what we've always said about that show is it's about entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're taking what they're saying, in particular, Charles Barkley, and you're taking what their opinions are about the basketball opinions, you're going to be led astray quite a bit.
You would. And like you mentioned, so if Rudy Gobert fired back something at Shaq, like Shaq wishes he had my free throw percentages or something like that, you know that they would take it, put it on a meme, run it at halftime during a TNT production, make a huge deal out of what Rudy Gobert said back and forth with Shaq, and try to draw more entertainment out of Rudy Gobert in a back and forth with Shaq.
Yeah.
You know that's their ultimate goal. And so good job by Rudy just kind of recognizing it. He knows it. And they've got guys, there are people in his ear that are like, hey, be more intelligent than that. You know what Shaq's after. You know what the show's after. But I also do think that there is a part of Shaq that thinks that level of money probably should result in more offensive output. There's probably a part of him that believes that.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the case with what Rudy does exceptionally well and what you need from Rudy in a given night to get a win. You got to have Rudy. Got to have his defense. You got to have some of those screen assists. You've got to have him in the pick and roll. You've got to have his efficiency at the rim. Do you really need a jumper out of Rudy? I don't know.
I don't think you do.
I wouldn't hate honestly to see it, but.
It's like you make really good jerky, right? And you've got a really good jerky recipe and you're fired and it's great. And you know it's great. And somebody's like, well, hey, you know what? What's really good is this $20 a bag jerky. And you're like, well, no, I've got really good jerky here. I don't need to go buy a $20. And like, yeah, but it's really good. They're like, no, I've got really great jerky here. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go spend $20 a bag. No. You really should try it. No, I know what I like. It works for me. It's great. If I go and buy that other, okay, I'm really trying to milk this thing for all it's worth. But if I really go out and buy that, then it's just going to be a wasted opportunity because I'm really happy with what I'm getting here. And Rudy Gobert, it's working. Rudy at the rim, alley-oops, throw the ball up to him, let him work in the post. If he pulls out and tries the jumpers, you know, you're just going to have some wasted possessions while you're trying to change who he is as a player. Just go with what works.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What really works when it comes to sleep apnea is this oral appliance courtesy of Sound Sleep Medical, 801-285-9731. Call now because we need to talk about the technology of this thing. I got one about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was the old school, like the paste that you put up in the mouth, and that's how we did the form. Now it's all 3D technology.
Yeah, we've got 3D scanners in each of our 6 offices. So this is going to be the perfect size, the perfect fit for your mouth. And again, what we're speaking about, this oral appliance, it can replace your CPAP machine. Or you can use it in conjunction with your CPAP. CPAPs, you know, if you're doing just fine with your CPAP at home, great. But traveling, camping, they can be really inconvenient. And so we have a lot of patients who come and get them just for that. A lot easier.
It really is a lot easier, and it can change your life too. And the one thing too, that this is so customized that sometimes when you get some dental work done, you get a crown, it's happened to me, that there needs to be some alterations made, and you guys do that free of charge.
Absolutely. There are no hidden fees with us. Once you get your oral appliance, all of your treatment is included. And we do follow-up sleep studies. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about your first sleep study to show if you have sleep apnea. But then people will say, well, how do I know if it's working? We will do a follow-up sleep study afterwards. Once it's in your mouth, we get to compare before and after to make sure your sleep apnea is being treated.
801-285-9731. And if you call now and you set up an appointment, you have a chance to win some goodies too.
Right. First off, the appointment, the sleep consultation is absolutely free. But in addition, right now during the show, we're going to enter you into a drawing for our Better Sleep prize pack. And that includes a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card.
801-285-9731. Call that number right now, 801-285-9731, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Brett McMurphy, national college football writer and insider for Stadium Network. The way too early top 25s came out. You had Utah at number 11. And curious what you saw in Utah that you have your expectation for them set so high.
I don't think you can penalize Utah or any of the Pac-12 teams based on last season. And if they had played a full season, I think people would look at them totally different coming into this year. And there's a friend of mine that works for the Action Network. He let me see his power ratings, and I don't remember specifically where he had Utah. But I believe they were no lower than like 13th or 14th in his power rating. So I think you'll see Utah in a lot of top 15, top 20s when his preseason rankings start coming out. Now, it's one thing to start there, and it's another thing to end there. But obviously, it's a good jumping off point.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans? Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Big show coming up today at 2 o'clock. By the way, big thanks to Eric Weddle for joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. A full hour of NFL talk, of breaking down Urban Meyer potentially on his way to the Jacksonville Jaguars as their head coach, and maybe even some speculation about Morgan Scali joining him. And a complete analysis of the games coming up this weekend. If you missed any of that, it's real simple. All you have to do is whatever podcasting platform you like, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever the case might be, just go ahead and find that, search Hanson Scotty or the Zone Sports Network, and it'll be there right there for you.
If you didn't get to listen to Eric live, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And he did go 5-1 in his predictions against the spread. Here's his picks for this upcoming weekend of games, Scotty. He took the Rams plus 6.5. He took the Ravens plus 2.5. Now, remember, the last two teams that he played for
are the Rams and the Ravens.
The Rams and the Ravens. So you would think that he's picking with his heart, but he picked them last week and it worked. And he's taking both of them again this week. He's got the Browns plus 10. You also had the Browns plus 10. And he's got the Bucks plus 3. So you went against him with you were the only one to take Buffalo and the minus 2.5.
Yeah.
I was the only one to take Kansas City and the minus 10. It's going to be a fun weekend. And then all three of us took the Bucks plus 3. Tom Brady's not going to lose 3 games in a row to New Orleans in one season.
Can't imagine.
If he does, that's going to bum me out because I still have Tampa. Well, preseason pick. I can't change it. But
Tampa. Who did I go with, Baltimore?
You've got Baltimore, I believe.
But then I just picked the Bills, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
You picked against your preseason prediction, but this is a different game. But, yeah, just looking at it right now, your preseason prediction was, in fact, Baltimore.
Yeah. I honestly, I picked Buffalo. It just seemed like they're playing the better football right now. However, I think either one of those two teams is more than capable of going into Arrowhead next week, the following week, and beating the Chiefs. I mean, they're going to be underdogs, and I get it. But I think the way both those teams are built, I think they could go into Kansas City and win.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. All right, time for Total Recall, recapping some of the big moments on today's show. Let's start with that Eric Weddle conversation. A range of issues. We talk about Urban Meyer, Morgan Scalley, and the differences of coaching college football as opposed to NFL football.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's good for the NFL. It's good for Coach Meyer and his family. Another challenge. It all depends on who's running the offense and defense. Quite honestly, he'll do great to be a mentor and lead the team and do all those things the head coach does. But if your offensive defense coordinator don't match up with your players, it's not going to matter. So. It'll be interesting who his hires are for that if he does get the job and how much time they're going to give him. And it's not going to be an easy fix. Regardless of you get Trevor or not, it's not like he's going to make you a playoff team. It's going to take a couple years to rebuild this team. And, I think they got a bunch of picks to over the next couple years with the Jalen Ramsey trade. And whatnot. So, yeah, I think it's exciting. I think we're all have somewhat vested in Coach Meyer because he was at the U for a couple of years and started the process of bringing Utah back on the map, and then Coach Witt taking it over and taking it even higher than it was. So, it's we'll see what happens.
There's been some rumors and talk that potentially Morgan Scalley would leave the University of Utah to go coach with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, maybe even as a coordinating setting. And Eric, I've kind of gone down a couple of avenues trying to figure out if that's just completely false and if it's a rumor. And nobody has shut the door on it. And these are people that would be somewhat close to it. What would you think if Morgan Scalley left the college game and transitioned to the NFL as a coordinator?
Man, that is like bombshell news. Like, I had no inclination like that even was a thought. So hearing that is awesome. Would he do great? He would do amazing. Look what he's done at the college ranks. And I put it like this, you're limited in a sense of what you can do and how much time you can have. Just think of what he can do with unlimited time and unlimited resources. Man, holy smokes, that would be so sweet. But I don't know. I just shot him a text to see if he'll respond back. He usually texts me back instantly. So, because I gotta know these things. But I know he has aspirations to be a head coach. I know that is a huge goal of his. He's mapped out, even 10, 12 years ago when we would talk what his goals are, how is he going to get there. And, so I don't know going the NFL route and then becoming a head coach that way, if that's what he wants. I know he loves the kids and he does a great deal with them and mentoring them and helping them. And then, you get in the league, it's a whole different mindset. I mean, it's not that at all. It's what can you do for me? How can I help you be the best player? I really don't care what's going on outside this building. It's what, you're going to be able to play for me on Sunday. And that's just the reality of it. So I don't know, but he will do an amazing job. There's no doubt in my mind he would do great at that level.
Well, Hans and I were just talking about this in the previous hour, and you hit on something because you probably, as a head coach, you can't use the same motivation tactics that you used in college at the NFL level. What does it take to motivate an NFL player that may not be, you know, that, you know, because college guys, they want to say pride for your university and pride and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The NFL, it's more like, I just want to get paid and I want to win some games. Like, how do you motivate an NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I would say the biggest difference is, you know, when you can manipulate and force different things on college kids because they have no other answer. They have no other choice, right? Like, they're on scholarship. You have to do whatever is being told. If not, then they'll, you know, just make it a scene and kick you off or revoke your scholarship. So all those little things that is preached on and all like the mental toughness and all this other stuff, like, it's not going to fly in the NFL. Like, you know, you start getting into those conversations with grown men, they're going to just turn their head or put on their headphones or something because it's not relevant. Like, I don't need to be taught mental toughness. I don't need to be told that this and this. Like, no, this is grown men. Like, I play for my family. I want to be great. Like, but that's not always the motivation for some people. So I think the biggest thing that Coach Meyer will have to transition to is just trying to bring everybody together for an ultimate goal and trying to bridge the gap of, you have 53 some odd guys. You want to bridge the gap that 45, 40 all play for each other, all play for the team. And those 5 to 8 guys that are selfish, that, you know, think about themselves, that don't work hard, you just have to manage those because they don't take over your whole team. You know, that's where the battle will happen because you won't have a commitment for everybody. You won't have guys that are early to meetings that will go to practice and practice hard and give it all they got. Like, that's just not reality. I mean, guys will miss because they don't want to practice. Guys will miss workouts because they don't want to work out. And are you going to find them? Are you not? What's your stance going to be on those issues? If they're late for a meeting, do you let it slide once? Do you not let it slide at all? If it's your star player, how are you going to treat him compared to everybody else? Like, that's going to be the difference for Coach Meyer, because you're not going to treat, you know, you hope your star player is a guy that falls in line and does everything right, because he is the extension of you as a head coach. But sometimes that's not the case. So how is that relationship going to be? Because if you damage that relationship, the coach is going to be gone before the star player.
There you go, Eric Weddle. Great conversation with him earlier in the show. And again, as we mentioned, if you missed it, go onto any podcasting platform and you can find it there and available for you.
How many times have we seen the coach go and the player stay?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Well, that's the thing. You know, when you, in college, you can rule with an iron fist and say, I need you to do this and this and this. And if you don't, then hit the road. In the NFL, you try that approach, guy's going to look at you like, yeah, I'm your star player. I make twice as much money as you do. And let's go walk up to the owners or the GM's office. And I will say it's either going to be you or me. And let's see who they choose.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be you.
There's an interesting headbutton situation going on in Houston right now with the Texans and Deshaun Watson. We'll see how that thing plays out. Did you see Dick Vermeil go after him? I think it was Dick Vermeil. Dick Vermeil calling, saying that Houston Texans organization needs to change his diapers, and
wow,
went after him pretty.
No, I did
maybe,
not see
maybe
that.
It wasn't Dick Vermeil. Maybe it was somebody that was in their 80s. It was a former NFL coach. It went after Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun wants more control of personnel decisions. And, you know, these old school coaches are looking at him like, what are you talking about?
You know, I remember asking Kevin O'Connor about that a long time ago. And it, you know, it was when Darren Williams was, you know, obviously the face of the franchise. And I said, and I asked him, do you consult Darren, when you're making, do you ask his advice? And he said, you got to walk that line very carefully, because if you go to your star player and you say, hey, look, we're thinking about bringing this player in and this player in, what are your thoughts? And he says, you know what? I don't like those guys. Don't like them. But in your mind, you're like, well, they're going to make our team better, so I'm going to go and get them. and you asked for their advice and you went against their advice, you got a lot of problems on your hands. However, if a player nixes a trade and you go along with it, then he's now running your personnel. So you've got to walk a line of keeping them informed and approaching them and saying, hey, look, we feel like this guy's going to make our team better. We understand, you know, we want to consult you and let you know what we're doing, but this is what we're doing. And according to a lot of people in Houston, Deshaun Watson was asked, what do you think about a general manager? And he said, I want this guy. And they're like, all right, good to know. And they went and hired somebody completely different.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why are you asking me this? Why are you asking me to be involved and then going a completely different direction?
That's the headache. That's the problem. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a lot of say, does he?
No. Or Jordan Love wouldn't be on the team.
Exactly. Aaron Rodgers, instead of getting an extra weapon that would be helping him in the divisional championships this weekend, gets a backup quarterback that's trying to get his job. So if Aaron Rodgers isn't dictating draft calls and choices and direction, then there's very, very few individuals in the NFL that have anything to do or say with draft selection. I certainly didn't know it to be the case. I feel like Peyton Manning had very little control, maybe some advice, maybe some thoughts, but very little say in regards to the talent that was coming in and out of that Colts locker room.
Yeah.
At least in my experience.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Wrap things up coming up next and get you ready for The Big Show straight ahead.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
When I was a teenager, I used to fumigate farm fields.
You didn't do that.
I did, I swear. Fumigate. I did this.
Yeah.
No. I had this apparatus that you put on your back, and it sprayed the germicide or whatever it was to protect the crops. I used to have a bandana hanging out the back of my jean pocket. The whole deal.
That doesn't make it more believable. Our boy Sven tweets into the show, no one sprays a field of crops with a backpack sprayer. They make tractors with giant tanks to do that.
This was like an enlarged garden area.
Okay.
Well, it was a farm 10 minutes ago. Now it's in a large garden area.
It was a huge, it's a true story.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Man, that guy, man.
I love Gordon Monson. That's funny stuff, talking about spraying with an entire farm with a backpack. Hey, by the way, if you are looking to buy or sell a farm, I want you to go with homie.com, HOMIE.com. Two great options right now. You can either use promo code HANCE on your sale, and you're going to get $500 off the $2,000 sale price. So you're going to sell your property for $1,500. Just take the value of your property, and let's say one of your realtor friends or families does it for 1%. Maybe it's a $700,000 home. Well, that's $7,000 that you're paying. You're going to pay $1,500. It's going to be done more efficiently. It's going to be done better. How do I know? Because I just sold a property through Homie. They were so good. They assigned the realtor to the came out. They took the photos. They posted it on MLS. They came in, put the lockbox on, the signage, everything. Or if you buy through Homie, you can sell your home for free. They're going to sell your home for free if you go through Homie to buy your next property. Homie.com. Remember, promo code HANCE for your $500 off.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. Big Show just moments from now as we wrap up a Thursday edition. Friday, week's almost over.
I have that exact slicer.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you guys are – I need to get a meat slicer.
Yeah, my dad gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah, got it. He got it at a yard sale and gave me a really nice meat slicer, and it's this exact one. So
does it work well?
I can slice them up, yeah. Yeah, but I've never even thought about doing jerky. Now, it's an interesting thought. you know, just have a nice little protein snack that you can pick up that you're not paying $38.
$20 an ounce, yeah.
It's amazing. You go in and get a Coke and a little piece of jerky, and you're out $12. And you're walking out like, what did I just buy? A Mickey Mantle baseball card? Like, what comes with this?
A little slice of Honus Wagner?
Yeah, like, do I get a keepsake at least? But no, you eat the jerky and your only keepsake is a piece of plastic, which is worthless. So I'm gonna see what I can do. But I want you to give it a go. Are you gonna try a teriyaki or a pepper?
I don't know yet. I'm gonna give it a shot this weekend though. Got an early Utah State game on Saturday, so might come home and.
Okay, so out of a pepper, a spicy, and a teriyaki, what's your favorite jerky?
Ooh, probably pepper one, teriyaki two.
And spicy three.
Yeah.
So I'm spicy one, teriyaki two, pepper three.
Love a heavy peppered jerky.
It's not my favorite.
No kidding.
Mm-mm. It's not my favorite. No, I like a good spicy.
So spicy like heat?
Yes.
Okay.
Spicy heat.
I'm down for that too. It's just if I'm going to rank the three, it's probably going third on that.
Well, I'm excited to give it a try. I'm excited for tomorrow, too.
You're excited for me to give it a try and then bring it in on Monday.
Well, what I meant was I'm excited to give your jerky a try.
Okay.
I'm excited to taste your jerky. You're going after this.
I'm going to try it, yeah. I've been meaning to do it for a while, and I've got the trays that I can put into my smoker because you want something with that, you know, because your normal grates on your smoker, that stuff will slip through the cracks, and then you got problems. This one, it's a tighter mesh.
Okay. By the way, everybody needs to enjoy a little college basketball tonight. Utah State, BYU, and Utah all in action. Utah will be taking on 8-3 Stanford. BYU taking on, I believe it's 9-3 St. Mary's. And then Utah State, you're on the call tonight against San Diego State.
Yep. 7 o'clock tip-off, pregame at 6:30. Really excited for this one. It'll be really, really fascinating to see where Utah State is. I mean, they've been blowing out their first six opponents in Mountain West play, but they're three of the bottom teams in the Mountain West. So now they're playing San Diego State, really good team, and we'll see how it'll be fun to see how they handle themselves.
BYU's tipping off against St. Mary's on ESPN2 tonight at 9 o'clock. So some good late-night basketball viewing. I'll be watching really closely because I'm already kind of hot and bothered over BYU basketball, always finishing number two, if not number three, in West Coast Conference and conference play. And this is a good St. Mary's team, and BYU better handle their business tonight.
Yep.
Or else I'm going to be surly tomorrow.
You're going to be grumpy.
I am. I'll be really grumpy.
Oh, man, if St. Mary's wins tonight. Oof.
It's not going to be fun.
Not going to be fun.
No.
Hey, Melissa's hanging out with us. We're live here at Sound Sleep Medical, 801-285-9731. That's 801-285-9731. You still have a few minutes to call in and try to snag this gift basket, too.
Yep, call in right now. Few minutes left. You will automatically get that free sleep consultation in one of our six offices. But again, that gift basket, the drawing includes a Minky Couture blanket, purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card. Good offer.
It's a great offer. 801-285-9731. And remember, this is an oral appliance. This is not a CPAP machine. And you do not need the machine next to the bed that you have to clean and use distilled water and all that other stuff. It's just like a mouth guard, and it can change your life.
It really can. So stop procrastinating. A lot of people put this off because they don't want the CPAP machine. You don't need it. And if you keep living with your sleep apnea, you're risking all sorts of trouble, like anxiety, depression, mental confusion, memory loss, frankly, stroke as well.
Melissa, if I were to lose a tooth or if I had a new tooth put in or something where I needed an adjustment, how does that work with this mouthpiece?
Easily done. We can accommodate you. We can adjust whatever we need to fit your mouth again. Again, these are, you're right, hands. They are custom made. And that makes them more comfortable. It makes them also more effective when treating your sleep apnea.
Call right now, 801-285-9731. And be in that drawing for a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and that $100 Amazon gift card. But you got to call 801-285-9731. Melissa, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Big Show coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.